The question that's as old as marriage itself, can you have one, a great one, with both partners openly seeing other people? It's the question that Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice asked in the infamous 1969 movie of the same name. And Lucy and Owen and Ben and Izzy take up in something of the Gen X version, the new novel from Sarah Dunn called The Arrangement. Now, you might know Sarah from her previous books, Big Love and Secrets of Happiness. She's also creator of the new sitcom American Housewife, which, like The Arrangement, is loosely based on Sarah's family, friends, and neighbors. Here's the character in the TV show that's based on Sarah reading to her daughter's elementary school class.
Hunky Mama Cat said, "Where's Patches?
Daddy does voices.
Daddy also gets 9 hours of sleep a night. Hunky Mama Cat does every last thing for her kittens. She feeds them. She plays with them. Does she complain? No. Mm-mm. But she has every right to complain. Yeah, I know it was her choice, but Hunky Mama Cat still wonders, what the hell happened to her life?"
So that's the TV show. Sarah Dunn's new novel, The Arrangement, takes that suburban ennui a whole lot further into an open marriage. But it's about more than that. It's about another couple who decide to stay together after one transitions. It's about what happens in yet another marriage when a much older person marries a much younger one. It's also about raising a child with autism. And author Sarah Dunn joins us from NPR's New York studios. Welcome.
Hi.
What a wonderful, fun read. I want to establish right at the top, you write autobiographically in a lot of what you do, and your poor husband, Peter Stevenson, also a writer, is along for the ride. So make it clear, in this case, is the open marriage something that you guys did?
No, we did not do that.
Okay. So we'll talk a little bit, though, about how it came to be. Let's talk first about the setting. Much like where you live in upstate New York, this is the idyllic Hudson River. It's a town filled with young upper-middle-class families who've moved out from New York City. There's an equivalent across the country. They suddenly find themselves, you know, loving the grass and the chickens, but maybe there's a little boredom. Who knows? But where did the idea to talk about open marriage in a novel come from?
Well, my husband and I did move out to Garrison, and I just moved into this perfect world, and I had two little kids and a perfect house and really a nice life, but I was trying to write a novel. And due to a sort of set of circumstances, the idea of writing about dating inside a marriage started to seem like a smart idea.
Well, did somebody suggest it? The opening scene of the book is a couple comes over and says, hey, there's, you know, what about open marriage? And your couple, Owen and Lucy, sit there listening.
Yes, we had a couple come over, and that scene happened pretty close to the way it was rendered. And after that happened, and I started playing around with the idea, I had to talk to Peter about me actually writing this book. And he was so supportive of it.
Okay. And for those listening at this point saying, this is horrific. What about the sanctity of marriage? We're not saying that this went all that well. But you have your characters, Owen and Lucy, come up with rules. It was only going to last 6 months. There were all sorts of rules about how they would go about it. Had you read up on, you know, I mentioned Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, the movie. There's all the John Cheever books. Did you immerse yourself in that? Or,
you know, I was raising a special needs child at the same time. So my book became a place for me to sort of escape and to have fun with this idea and play with it and sort of see how it would play out. And I did have a sense that it was going to play out not that great.
Well, I want to hold you up there because what an exquisite rendering. You know, you talk about you're raising a child with autism. I don't think I've seen in a novel the kind of description we get from you, as Lucy and Owen do the same thing. Obviously, that was taken from your own experience.
Yeah, it was. My son Harry was diagnosed, sort of flagged at age one, and then it was just been a series of new tests and new learning and bigger problems, smaller problems. But the funny thing about Harry is he's very articulate and he's very funny. And so I just started writing a lot of it down. And now I'm actually glad that I wrote it down because I think I would have blacked out a lot of my memories of that time in my life because it was so difficult. Part of what feels fresh about it on some level is I don't think a lot of mothers with autistic children have time or whatever to write a novel. And so the fact that I was scribbling this down while I was in the trenches gives it a a certain truth. Well, because it is true, actually.
Well, you write about Wyatt, the child in the book, doing things called scripting, filling his brain with these scripts from months ago, videos he'd seen on YouTube and just repeating them. At one unfortunate point, he's blurting out the name of his father and the woman his father's having an affair with. Izzy and Owen. What it does is, I mean, obviously you love your child. Your child has, in real life, has such great qualities. We can feel that. But also it takes that, you know, that idea of a woman at home raising children that might be spitting in her face, which a child with autism might do when they are rigidly locked in a moment. We really see what happens when, you know, somebody's at home raising kids and maybe getting a little anxious. Where's my life going to go? And the husband in the book is the first to meet a woman under this arrangement. Mm-hmm. And now we are in fatal attraction territory because he hooks up with Izzy and all you can think of is Glenn Close is going to come back to the house and kill something. Why did you go that route?
You know, Izzy was a fun creation for me. When I was writing the book, I did try to think of what would actually happen. And I sort of think that in the real life, the man would just choose the low-hanging fruit, you know, the first option.
Who turned out to be crazy Izzy.
Yes. And she was a fun character because I feel like she had her own sort of wisdom. She sort of knows at the beginning this is not a good idea. And she goes along with it, obviously, for her own reasons. And then for Lucy, I wanted her romantic entanglement to be a little bit more of a fantasy and a little bit more for the reader to be able to just imagine themselves in that situation. And so she ends up with a guy in New York City named Ben.
They end up falling in love. Owen ends up getting chased around by crazy Izzy. But before that, when it's going kind of well in the beginning, they're both thinking, we have cracked the code of married life, you know. This is like The Secret, but for marriage. We'll have to write a book about it. We'll be rich and happy. Everybody wants to believe it can work.
Yeah, I do think everybody wants everything. And, you know, one of the things about being in a marriage over a long period of time is it can't really compete with that feeling of falling in love again or that feeling of maybe even just kissing someone for the first time. And so, you know, marriage has its consolations and its wonderful things and it's great for a family and it's also great for your soul, I believe. But there is a tension between these two sides of people.
Were you almost writing a character that you could live through, that could go to New York every Thursday for a so-called French lesson?
Yeah. Except that I didn't get to go to New York.
Yeah.
But you know, the novel actually for me was a wonderful kind of hammock to live in while I was having my struggles with my son and life. It was kind of a fun escape. And I hope in a way that it works for other people that way too.
Right.
It's a fun, in a weird way, a marriage-affirming escape.
Yeah, oh, well, and it's hilarious, but also frightening. Again, refer back to Glenn Close, you know, where people suddenly pull up short and say, what have we done? What are your friends saying? I mean, since you base so much of what you write on a real town and a real family, yours and real friends, are your friends running up and saying, you've got to get me out of that book?
I have two trusted friends who I had read a very early draft. And they actually had me pull out a couple of paragraphs that they thought would deliberately hurt somebody. I mean, I've always in my books willingly hurt people in the past by stealing their stories. But I feel by novel number three, there's no need to do that. So I pulled a couple things out.
So there was no kindergarten teacher in Garrison who transitioned from man to woman and still stayed in a marriage with his wife?
No, that was made up.
Boy, it's a good one.
But, you know, that was one of the ways to sort of show this town. Our town is very, it's a mix of progressive and very traditional. And I thought that that was an interesting thing because the progressives in the town embrace it. And the people who've been there for generations don't want that to have happen. And so it was a good way to sort of show what this town was and who these people were.
Was there a blessing of the animals at a local church in which some parents rented animals and others brought untrained ones so it mayhem ensued when the Doberman attacked the chickens?
No, that's made up.
That's
too.
Good too.
But that church exists. You know, the grocery store exists. All of the little shops exist. If you know Garrison, the book feels very true.
It used to be what happened in Garrison stayed in Garrison. Sarah Dunn's new book is The Arrangement. It's a novel. And Sarah, it's a delightful read.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.